Hello, everybody. It's Threesome Podcast 15. Lex and Stacy here for another week to talk about things that may mean something or may not.
To tickle and titillate your mind.
That's right. We talk about things usually, or try to, that probably cross your mind at some point. Be it, I know we're going to touch on Black Friday today and how just fucking ridiculous it's getting.
Yes.
Just the holidays in general probably will be a part of discussion because I fucking hate them.
Me too.
I mean, I do. I just really, really do. And some other things that are happening in the news. We will discuss whether the brand new World Trade Center is just as cursed as the old one. And I know two people that feel that way, and it's not us.
It's not funny because we don't know what's happened yet.
No, we don't. But that's the things we joke about.
Yes.
Oh, wait, this isn't Lex and Terry. Do we joke about things like this?
We have at times.
I know we've made you joke about things like this and when you don't really care to, but I guess we're doing it.
Yes.
So all kinds of cool things going on. I do want to tell you, since we're recording today, early this morning, live on Lex and Terry, we had Lisa Kudrow on.
Really?
Uh-huh. And it was awesome. It was cool, man. She's got a show out called The Comeback. And that show was on 10 years ago on HBO. It did one season and got really great reviews. And I guess not enough viewership, so they took it off. And it's kind of stayed alive, and it got all these accolades, you know, from Rolling Stone and all these other places. And the same people that are employed at HBO are still there and convinced the hierarchy to bring it back.
Oh, wow.
So 9 years later, they're going to start season two.
Well, good for her.
Yeah. And she's hilarious. I mean, she's very dry and very funny. And she's no dummy. Not at all. She knows exactly what she's doing. It's about a sitcom star that's trying to make a comeback.
Well, how apt.
Yeah. And Matt LeBlanc kind of did the same thing in episodes. But which is done pretty well, by the way. But in her case, you know, just being a woman and everything, you know how Hollywood washes women up in a hurry.
Right. And she is at that age, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. The other day, I was just kind of thinking, it's like, where's Nancy Travis? Where's Gina Davis? Where's Meg Ryan? What the fuck happened? Where'd they go?
Nancy Travis, she was like the 3 men and a baby girl, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And also was in...
I Married an Axe Murder.
Yeah. I mean, just sexy and cute and everything else. And I think she ended up in a sitcom or so.
Yeah, but, I think so. You're right.
Yeah, but it's like, God, she was fucking hot. And I still want to see these. Remember Marky Post on Night Court?
Oh, she was gorgeous.
Oh, my God. You know, there's nobody on TV I wanted to poke more than her.
And all girls my age at that time wanted to be her when you grew up, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, because she had the cute, sassy little haircut and that cute little face and nice
the bod and the
ass.
Business suits.
Yeah. Oh, God, I love business suits. My weakness. My weakness. Sometimes I just want to get down to the courthouse and sit on the steps. But it's creepy, so I can't.
But just it's creepy Lex.
Is it? Yeah, creepy Rob Lowe.
I laugh more than I should at that.
I know. I like the new one with the hair all over his arms. Have you seen that one yet?
I don't think so.
Oh, yeah, it's awesome.
When he comes up to himself and like rubs his back and that awkward, it's like, oh.
The worst one's when Creepy Rob Lowe's like, you know, I like being in your space.
I like watching strangers swim.
I like breathing your air. It's a great commercial.
A really gross thing.
Rob Lowe does not get anywhere near the credit of how funny he is.
I know.
He has awesome comedic timing.
For him to be able to do a Robert Wagner impersonation dead on like that for like the Austin Powers movies.
Oh, Mike Myers couldn't get enough of him when he played like the slimy producer in Wayne's World.
Yes.
Yeah.
He makes that.
Yeah. And he's like, he goes, oh, you want some Thai food? I'll take care of this. Pepsi.
At the end, after he's been anally probed by the cop, and he gets out of the car and he's walking all stiff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I watched Wayne's World back this summer, and I was actually surprised at how well it held up.
Oh, I can't stop watching Wayne's World when it comes on. It's amazing.
It had been a very long time for me, and I was almost afraid to, but I was like, oh, that was good. Yeah. Yay.
Buy Feeble Cable Show and exploit it. Man, I'd hate to be those guys.
When they were doing the show, and they're like in front of the green screen with all the different states, it's like, ooh, I'm a rootin' tootin' cowboy in Texas. And then they go, hi, we're in Delaware.
Yeah. There were so many great disses in that. You know, and the little cameo from Ed Bundy, the angry donut man.
Yes. Well, that's where Sunny, or whatever her name was, the Foxy Lady, worked. Foxy.
Yeah, Foxy.
And you got to do the little air quotes, Foxy.
Yeah, who, by the way, is Dan Aykroyd's wife in real life, Donna Dixon.
She was Sunny in like Bosom Buddies or something, wasn't she?
Yeah.
She held up well.
Yeah, still does. I saw her on a red carpet thing with Dan Aykroyd, and she looked great.
Good.
Yeah, so she's, as does Tia Carrera, she still looks great.
She kind of went away. She had a few movies. She kind of cashed in on her Wayne's World fame, and then she just kind of went away. But I saw her recently in a not very good movie. I can't even tell you what it was.
Yeah, she actually married a director or producer or something and had some kids.
Yeah.
And, you know, so she still dabbles in acting now. I guess her kids are probably getting a little older where she can get back into it and do some things. But I like her. I remember having her on the air during Wayne's World, and she was cool as hell. She really was.
Well, good.
So I enjoyed that very much.
Of course you did.
She was hot. So hot. And when a shoot she was doing with a snake around her neck, it's like, come on.
Yeah. Still no Selma from Dusk Till Dawn, but...
Pretty fucking close. I would probably have to include both of them in my fantasy. Hey, listen.
Dueling snakes.
Listen, there's enough snake to go around to both you girls.
Nice.
If you know what I'm saying. So you just relax, all right? Don't fight over the anaconda. Or that snake.
And thus a t-shirt was born.
Yeah, because it's my fantasy.
Don't fight over the anaconda.
Yeah.
There's a pickup line.
Yeah. Don't fight over the anaconda and that snake either. Yeah, so I had a magical line last Friday on the show. I was talking about my attributes of making a great hitman.
Ah.
And Terry goes, why do you think you'd make such a great hitman? I said, easy. I don't like people.
That usually helps.
Yeah. I said, so, you know, my lack of empathy would be non-existent, you know. And he goes, how would you do that? I said, I'd just walk in and say, I don't know what you did, but you're not going to be doing it anymore.
See, that is everyone's mistake in movies. You don't talk to them. You don't explain what's happening. You just do it and walk away.
Nah,
you give them too much time if you talk to them.
No, that's my signature. Yeah, they're already in the bed pissing themselves because I got a silencer pointed at their fucking chest. I have plenty of time to say, I don't know what you did, but you're not doing it anymore.
But that's when you find out that you've been sent out to hit Jason Statham. And he kicks your ass with his British accent.
No, I don't take a job with Jason Statham in it.
Well, I would hope not, but they probably don't tell you his name.
These are just Enron corporate slime balls that, you know, need to shut their mouth before trial. You know, that type of stuff.
They've got a hooker and a pile of cocaine in bed with them.
Exactly. In which case it would be, I don't know what you did. I have a pretty good idea, but you're not going to be doing it anymore.
This is for all the baby seals you killed.
Yeah. Or it's going to be, that's an awful lot of blow and I want it.
Push him out of bed, getting in with the hooker. Hey, toots.
I won't say anything.
Well, you can't with my cock in your mouth.
Yeah.
Now start blowing. Yeah,
that's right. About that. Not saying anything? Get busy. There's your fantasy for the week to go along with last week's Meryl Streep debacle.
That wasn't quite so much a seduction, though, with the hooker.
No, I was just getting a freebie out of my, you know. It's like, wow, I'm getting paid and this? This is cool.
It's a tip.
Don't put a bullet through my head. You think I'm going to do that with my cock in your mouth? What are you, stupid?
I don't want you to convulse. Bite it off.
I guess I better take it out of my mouth then. That's right.
Or let me just take a really long, slow time.
Yeah. I'm going to give you long enough to forget I was here. Why do I have a mask on? Because I don't want you to see me.
This mask is saving your life.
Yeah. It's not that I'd be scared if you'd identify me or anything. I'm just really turned on by the mask getting a... Yeah.
It's got bunny ears. Yeah. That's what I don't understand.
Yeah. Which is fine. You know, I'm a Primus fan.
There is in Royal Oak, Michigan. I'm sure it's still there, but I haven't been there in a long time. There's a leather store called Noir Leather. And I remember going in there with friends a long time ago. And it was just like this black leather dungeon of all kinds of, you know, BDSM stuff.
Yeah.
And I remember they had the full black leather mask that comes down like to your neck and it completely covers your face. There's like little slits for your eyes.
Yeah.
And then it had big bunny ears. It was like, why the bunny ears? It looks so disturbing.
That's
and
why.
Then with the bunny ears, it just kind of went, oh.
Yeah, listen, you're getting ass fucked by a black rabbit head.
They had someone had taken a dentist chair and had turned it into this like, you know, S&M torture chair. It was like, wow, I'm really uncomfortable.
You mean better known as a dentist chair?
I think there were some extra things there that you don't find at the dentist.
Yeah. Listen, it's not my scene. It really isn't. I don't get it. And I haven't been with a chick that's like asked to go in that direction or anything like that. So I've kind of skirted that throughout my life. I guess it's something, you know, I'd try if I had a freak enough chick.
Now, would you be a top or a bottom?
Oh, no, I call the shots. I'm way too power hungry to let her do that.
But wouldn't you just want to let go once in a while?
Of her throat? Yeah. Sure, at some point.
Okay.
No, it's not my scene. I don't need my ass whipped or I don't need to be tied up. I don't like it.
What about getting fucked with a strap on?
You pretty much do what I say.
Gotcha. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, Lex. Yes, sir, Lex.
I don't like the way you said that. It wasn't respectful enough.
I'm so sorry, Master. Is that better?
It's getting there.
I just want to please you, Master.
When's that going to start?
Whatever you want.
It's been 15 years and you haven't yet.
I know.
I'm not expecting it tonight. However, I know there's been others along the way you've done pretty well with, so good for you.
Thanks.
I'm sure the mister is happy. God knows how long he's been taking orders.
And thus, that's the joy of marriage.
Yeah, it's why I'm not married anymore.
Yes.
Hey, I'm not married anymore.
How's that working out for you?
Pretty good.
Any interesting things happen recently with you not being married?
No, my chick's in yoga school right now. So it's a little bit of a taxed household. That's serious business. She's there from 7 a.m. to 9 at night.
That's a lot of flexibility.
And I do believe there's some attempted reprogramming going on.
I was wondering about that.
Yeah. And all I can say is good luck with that. I'm one of the master manipulators and control freaks of all time, and I can't get her to do shit. Good luck with her. She just doesn't get it.
Nice.
She goes, I think it's some kind of a cult thing or something. It's kind of weird. And I'm like, you'll be fine. You're oblivious.
I was looking at that online because I had read a long time ago. I can't remember what I'd read a long time ago, but what branch of yoga it was. But if you look at like yoga cults, there's like lots of information about it. You know, I know that I think probably the average person who goes to yoga just simply wants to, you know, find an exercise routine that like feels good and makes them happy.
I don't know if that's true. That's not what I was looking for. I was looking for kind of half meditation, half, you know, be kind to the mind and body type of thing, you know, but it's, you know, that's something that's supposed to manifest within your own self. That's not supposed to be taught to you or forced upon you or anything like that.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and that's kind of what it is you being one with yourself and learning how to breathe and relax and, you know, let go of tension and things like that.
You do the hot yoga, but I mean, is it, I don't know enough about it. Is it like that you said the vinyasa flow or something like that, that you guys do?
I'm not exactly even sure what the name of it is. I'll have to find out. Is that what she said on the phone that day? It's vinyasa?
I thought you had said, I don't know.
Yeah, then that's what it is, because I remember her saying it and I repeated it. I don't even care what it's called. To me, it's called a fire class, you know, and, you know, which they cleverly disguise cult-wise to make you think it's just a yoga class that's called fire, but... You know, I'm sure I'm being sucked into some sort of twisted, fucked up thing.
Well, don't say that and like give people the wrong idea. I think people can go to a yoga class,
I'm just kidding.
Their families and being, celibate for 9 months?
Yeah, I'm just kidding. I mean, I just told her, I said, listen, this comes from a place of the mind before it was physical. You know, this is transcended from the beginning, you know, from meditation and just gone on to become a mental and physical joining of the mind and body. If you're going to instruct it, you have to learn it. You have to know where it came from and what it is and all that stuff. That's what all they're teaching you. You know,
it just helps to be strong enough of mind to not get sucked into something.
But it is fun fucking with her, you know, because I said, hey, I looked it up. It takes like 16 days to get sucked into a cult.
Really?
No, I made it up.
Oh.
Yeah, because she's there for 15.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whew.
Yeah. She goes, you're so full of it. I went, hey, look it up.
Hours later, she's still at the computer.
Yeah. so fun to fuck with her. It's, but she, you know, she just doesn't buy into stuff like that. So she'll be fine. She'll get out of it what she's supposed to get out of it, and she'll be. I saw some video of her teaching a class, and she was doing great.
Good.
A lot better than the Chinese guy was doing, who speaks only Chinese.
You know, when I was, again, looking, like, up at the yoga cults and stuff,
yeah,
there are videos of, like, in Korea or somewhere, where there's literally thousands. There's, like, those people up, you know, that are directing the class, but there's, like, thousands and thousands of people down on the floor doing their yoga, and it's like, well, crap. That's a lot of sweat and stink, I'm sure.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, she was telling me that they were talking about, you know, Tibetan culture and stuff like that, where, you know, people are asked to put their arms above their head for, like, you know, 6 months and stuff like that, you know, in the same pose without moving, you know. Only
why?
Getting, yeah. I'm like, listen, I would not do that for somebody. I'm sorry. I'm, you know, I'd be like dropping my arms going, hey, look, ah!
I guess it would be a mind over matter thing. And at that point, it's more mind control than body control. I would have to think,
yeah,
you know,
but they end up being deformed, you know, like their skeletons and muscles never let them put their arms down again. You know, and stuff like that. It's crazy.
Wow. And then what did they do? What have they achieved at that point?
I don't know. I guess they made some control freak happy. You know, he's probably sipping on, smoking out of a pipe somewhere going, look, I've gotten her to do that for 6 months now. My God, how stupid is she?
Let's go tickle her inside. Yeah. Her ribs.
I mean, it has to come from some power freak or something, man. You know, it's like it, nobody in America would do that. That's why we're the greatest country in the world. You know, we would actually, not only would we not do that, but we'd have Vegas laying bets, you know, how long it'll take the guy to say, fuck you, you know? It's like, I get 14 and a half days. He says, fuck you. You take the over under on that. I mean, that's why we're the best country in the world right there. We don't buy into that shit.
And, you know, the whole cult thing can happen in almost any instance. Mm-hmm. You know, if you could even find it in some corporate atmospheres.
Sure.
You know, it just depends on who you get find that, you know, I guess is weak-minded enough to succumb to the bullshit you're telling them.
I know this girl that sells like this supplement product, and mm-hmm. she heard us doing the Go Cleanse commercials and stuff like that, and she was calling me up on the phone going, you know, talking about, you know, come on over to my product. And, you know, it's like, I made $1,200 last month. You know, I got five people under me. You know, this is the best product. You know, it's like, I'll send you a picture of me on my iPhone. It's like, I've lost so much weight and I look so amazing. And, you know, I'm totally driven to do this. And I'm like, what happened to you? You just used to be a cunt salesperson that just sold ice to the Eskimos. What the fuck is this?
I know.
You know, and you know, it's like you did this to people. They don't do it to you. Who did this to you?
Right.
This is amazing. You are the most self-absorbed person I ever met. I want to meet the person that did this to, well, no, wait, hold on. I don't want to meet the person who did this to you. But it was like she was completely absorbed into this whole thing, you know. And it's like, oh, we meet once a year. One day I'm going to get the Corvette. You know, I'm completely driven to do that. All I need is $1 million in sales and all this. I'm like going, wow.
See, that would make me really uncomfortable. when you meet people like you with her, you know, or you find someone who has recently found religion, for instance, and they just become so deeply engrossed in it, and that's all they talk about, and that's all they think about, and it's like, I don't want to talk to you about it because I'm not going to come over to your way of thinking, and you make me just uncomfortable. Go talk to your people, I guess.
God, you're so much nicer than me. I'm like, shut the fuck up with that stuff. That's not who you are. We used to take bats to mailboxes together. Shut the fuck up. You're a bad person. Stay one.
You're much more interesting. Yeah. Listen, whatever, when you're not reading the Bible.
Listen, you haven't been able to stay with anything your whole life, and I'm pretty sure this is the case, too. Just drop it now. You're boring. Listen, God obviously doesn't love you. You were homeless for a couple years. You have completely fucked up your whole adult life. Just keep going with what you're doing, okay? Here, here's a C note. Go get something to eat.
Or a blowjob, whatever.
You know, and then there's friends of mine who went totally off the beaten path and came back non-religious. But, you know, found their calling. You know, they just decided they didn't want to take shit anymore and didn't want to, you know, wanted to be sober, and they wanted to reconnect with their kids that they were estranged from. I got a friend of mine. He's my age. He just graduated with his master's in psychology. He's going to be a psychology professor.
Good.
And I would go see him before anybody just for what he's been through.
Right.
And, man, this guy was a complete mental midget as far as getting in trouble all the time and making the worst decisions. I was always kind of a good kid, you know. It's like, I didn't want to be in trouble. I didn't want to do stuff I knew was leading to trouble or anything like that. I was pretty much this guy's conscience, you know, when we were, and I'm like, dude, you can't do that. Here's why. And if it implicates me, I'm certainly not doing it. You can go ahead, but you're out of your fucking mind. What are you gaining from this? There's nothing monetary to gain from it. There's nothing of any value, any intrinsic value to gain from this. Why are you doing this? I don't know. Well, that's something you need to think about.
But he pulled himself up himself.
He did, yeah.
He didn't, like, go to a program or anything. He was strong-minded enough to do it himself.
He was strong-minded enough to put himself in a program. You know, he went to a shelter program and all that stuff and, you know, went through, you know, me.
But I meant, you know, like, the culty stuff.
Yeah, no. Uh-uh.
The religious stuff, you know. He was strong enough to just do it on his own, take care of what he needed to do, and fix his own problems.
Yeah, he got a job. He just did, did all that stuff, and then went to meetings every night after work. And, you know, it's like now he helps all kinds of people.
Good for him.
Including me. You know, helped me a lot, you know, through my divorce and stuff like that. You know, very sensible.
I respect the hell out of that.
Yeah. And I would go see that guy just based on what he's been through, more so than some stuffed shirt that had it made all the way through college and graduate school and everything else.
Yep.
But it's, I don't know, I was in tears when I saw what he did with his life.
Good. I don't mean that he made you cry, but just good that it's a good story and good for him.
Yeah, because
that's what can happen when you take your own fate into your own hands.
Because he was one of those best friends that I had to cut loose. You know, I had a wife and a small child and everything, and he's like coming around the house wanting money and shit like that. And, you know, and I just said, this is where I got to cut ways with you, man. If you ever get your shit together, you're welcome to call me. I'll do anything for you, but as long as you're destroying yourself, get the fuck out of here. This is one of the most painful things I've ever had to say, because this is like my high school buddy, man. My one of my best friends.
Right.
You know, we've
the history, the childhood, all that.
Oh, we've done crazy fucking things together, you know. We both got shot in the ass with rock salt picking mushrooms one night.
Of course you did. Did it sting?
Yeah, but we were laughing our ass off because we had already had some.
Well, good for you for being able to find the correct mushrooms.
Yeah. And it's like we're laying in this next field. We hop the guy's fence. We're laying in this next field, and we're rolling. We're crying. We're laughing so hard. And this guy walks up, and he's pointing a gun at both of us, and we both laugh even more.
Not concerned at all.
Yeah. And I went, "You here to put more salt in the wound?" And even the guy like laughed a little bit, and he goes, "What are you doing out here?" I said, "Getting mushrooms."
Duh.
It's like, what are you going to do with them? You're just going to run a tractor over them and ruin them. At least we're doing something with them. You know?
We're naturists.
It's like, look, we're just looking under your cow crap, all right? Sorry. I'd appreciate if you never come back here again. It's like, don't worry.
You goddamn hippies, go eat your shrooms someplace else.
And we walked into this 7-Eleven, which was like a half a mile away. I mean, it's like out the middle of nowhere. And we don't even know where our car is. And we walk into this 7-Eleven, and the guy behind the counter has a yarmulke on. And for some reason, that was enough for us to fall on the floor laughing.
It is a very funny hat.
It's just a Jewish dude wearing a yarmulke like he's supposed to. And, you know, I forget what Lee said. It was like, you know, where's the ears that go on that thing or something like that?
Nice.
Yeah, it was something like that. And I was, yeah. The guy just shakes his head. I mean, we had some great times, but, you know, at some point I put that stuff up and he didn't.
You grew up.
Yeah. But we had some fun. I lived with him and his wife for a while, you know, paid rent in their house and everything. This is when I first started working at Rock 105, and I came downstairs to go to work. Because I was working overnight, so it was like 11:30, and I walk out into the garage to go to my car, and it is filled with pot plants.
Oops.
I mean, to the ceiling. They found some poor dude's pot field and just ripped it clean. I just looked at him and I said, "I'm moving out tomorrow if this is still here." He goes, "Dude, we got like pot forever." I said, "Yeah, we got a jail cell forever too if somebody finds it." You know, and it's like I walk outside to go to the car and the smell of the bud coming out of the garage is just, I mean, you can smell it down the street.
I was going to say, you probably could smell it on you.
Yeah. You know, and his wife's pregnant, and I was just like, okay, it's time for me to go. I went and got my own apartment the next day. But I did take some of the weed.
Well, of course.
Yeah. So,
a parting gift.
Enough of Lex's childhood. But it was crazy. Yeah, but he's doing amazing now. Absolutely amazing. And I'm proud of him. I love him. It's all good. And, he starts interning for a really high-end psychology professor at some university in Florida somewhere.
Nice.
And I'm extremely proud of him.
I wish him so much luck.
Yeah. 57 years old.
Good. It's never too late, folks.
No. No, not at all. I'm thinking of taking some classes.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
I had a talk with Terrence about it. I've been wanting to take some business classes and stuff like that. And there's a couple of universities that got online stuff, you know, like he's doing stuff with UCLA. Arizona State has some stuff that you can go, you know, take online courses and stuff like that. They're kind of expensive, but yeah. It's kind of cool how it works. You know, it kind of forces you to really pay attention and do the work, because they don't let you move forward until you pass.
Well, that's good, though. Yeah. I mean, you're getting what you paid for.
Yeah, you're learning. You're actually learning. You know, it's forced learning. It's not some teacher talking to you and letting you daydream. It's like you got to pay attention.
Cool.
You know, so.
When are you thinking about doing this?
Beginning of the year.
Do you think it's
semester.
Like a kind of a New Year's resolution-y kind of thing?
No, it's been something I want to do for a while. I just haven't found the right vehicle to do it. And he told me about the Arizona State thing, so I just started looking into it. And, of course, I got to
Well, you do that, and I'll finish my book. How's that?
All right. And I got to go back to, 1980 and get my credits.
Wow.
If they even still have them.
I would think they do.
Yeah. And I don't even know what I completed in junior college, you know?
I was in fourth grade.
You know, I have all these fears I'm going to have to, like...
take Math 101 again.
Yeah.
And then be like, oh, my God.
Yeah. I know I got the college requirement for English 101 and Math 101 and all that stuff out of the way. I know that's gone, but there's other stuff to do, I'm sure.
But it almost might help you to take Math 101 again, just so you can go, okay, now I remember that algebra that I've never had to do again until now.
I will pretty much just quit if it becomes algebra. I'm just not that person. You know, my poor daughter's not that person. She just struggles. She'd be a 4.5 student if it wasn't for math.
I placed into basically the college equivalent of a special ed math class at Michigan State.
Yeah.
It was where they just pat you on the head and go, you poor, poor, stupid person.
Yeah. You're not stupid. It's just not what your brain's wired for.
No, not at all.
It's like, you know, Samantha was in senior English in ninth grade. You know, she'd gone as far as she could go.
Right.
You know, so she got those credits all the way through high school. You know, she still has to attend class, but she's done.
Right.
You know, it's crazy. You know, and it's like she struggles in math, and she struggles in broadcast class just because of the teacher.
Still having issues?
Yeah, not just her. There's like, you know, a couple students a week seeing the counselor to move on to something else.
Really?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. The guy's so over the top. He really is. You know, and I tried to tell her how to deal with the guy, but I've come to the conclusion you just can't.
Right.
You know, when you're having a mass exodus, when half your class is asked out, and I'm like, at what point does somebody from the office come down the hall and say, it's not them, it's you. You know?
But they could have the paper chase philosophy, you know, where you got to be tough. You got to do it. If you have the heart, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, well, it's kind of hard to do a school website and a newscast if you got, like, six people left. You know, this is supposed to run like a real TV station and a real website and stuff like that. You know, bloggers and programmers and all kinds of stuff like that. And it doesn't have enough people to function anymore.
Well, I guess he better put his writing cap on, shouldn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's like Sam, much to my chagrin, doesn't want to be a broadcaster.
Whose child is she?
Well, she's mine. She just and that's kind of the thing. Being mine, she's going to do whatever the fuck she wants. Yeah.
Yes, there's no doubt she's yours.
Yeah.
She's like you with pert little boobies.
Yeah. You're not that little.
I honestly have never oogled her, so, you know, I still see her as like the 5-year-old with like the best hair I've ever seen on a woman ever.
Yeah.
She had like model hair.
Yeah, she still does. Yeah, she's a beautiful young lady. She really is. But she's not going to be in the business, which I'm okay with. She's sticking with this equestrian thing.
Good.
Yeah. It's what she loves.
She's lucky to know at that age what she wants to do, because so many people don't have that luxury.
Not only that, she has a complete plan figured out. It's crazy. You know, and she's, you know, basically just turned 17 a few months ago, and she's knows exactly, you know, what she wants to do work-wise, how she's going to make money, how she's going to intern in equestrian, how she's going to go to school. I mean, it's crazy. It's very impressive.
Yes, it is.
You know, so, like I said, you know, like I've told you before, when there was something about her when she was 6 or 7, I just looked at her and I went, I don't think I'm going to have to worry about you.
Now go get Daddy some cigarettes.
Daddy doesn't smoke cigarettes. Go get your mother some cigarettes so she leaves us alone.
Nice. And you toss her the car keys and she catches them with one hand and says, I got it, Daddy.
Yeah, toss a steak in the other room. So, you know. Oh.
Nice.
Tell her it's us. Tell her it's my heart.
Do we want to talk about what you were going to talk about?
What? Which part are you talking about?
Well, I don't know. You had that like super secret website that kept not showing up. You were looking for it earlier.
Oh.
Before we began recording.
Let me see if it does show up.
And meanwhile, we can talk about this as you're looking. As of like right now, broadcast time, air time that we're recording this, there are two poor window washers dangling at like the 68th floor of the new World Trade Center 1 building, whatever it's called. Dangling. There. One cable.
That's not good. I hope it's okay.
Me too. That's why I don't want to joke about it, because by the time this airs, there's like that horror of both of them like splatting and like being shown on national TV and everything, and it would be awful.
You know how we were talking about the holidays and before we started going here?
Yes.
And how much we both fucking hate it?
Yes.
This is something that should get the hair on the back of your neck to stand up. You know who Kirk Cameron is?
Yes, unfortunately.
Well, he's decided to send a message out to all moms for the holidays. Or and wives. If you are a mom, if you are a wife, if you're the keeper of your home, I want you to know that your joy is so important this Christmas. Because Christmas is about joy, and if the joy of the Lord is your strength, remember, the joy of the mom is her children's strength. So don't let anything steal your joy. If you let your joy get stolen, it will sap your strength. Let your children, your family, see your joy in a way that you decorate your home for Christmas. In the food that you cook. In the way that you clean. The songs that you sing.
And you do it in heels.
Yeah, the stories you tell and the traditions that you keep. Invite your whole neighborhood into your Christmas and invite the world into our story of the King and his kingdom. Join me and go see Saving Christmas, November 14th.
Oh, so it was a movie ad?
I don't know.
See, that's what bothers me. It just seems the whole church thing seems to really be working against women. Why aren't the dads helping clean and decorate and preparing food alongside the wife?
Oh, Stacy, we fucking do.
I hope so. All the men I know do, but yeah. There seems to be then that. And you know, there's people that eat that up and go, yes, yes, I know that I'm suffering from, you know, winter depression. And, you know, the five children I have sapped my strength. But I'm going to put that big, fake, happy smile on my face and make a beautiful home because that's what I'm worth.
I have a flaw. I love really strong-minded women. So I don't get the luxury of some fleeb that will do all this shit for me with not blink an eye. Instead, I get, hey, go get us a tree. Go get us some decorations. I can't reach the top of that thing, so you might as well put the lights on it. You know, they're not ordery or anything. They go from a sense of helplessness, you know, but they know exactly what the fuck they're doing. And I tell them I know what the fuck they're doing. But in the end, I'm the one who ends up doing it.
I could tell you that some of my husband's and I most spectacular fights revolved around putting lights on a Christmas tree.
Oh, yeah, because nobody likes putting lights on a fucking Christmas tree. It's the worst fucking job ever. It's thankless. You get skin irritations from those fucking needles. You got to stick your hand way the fuck in there and, you know, put the lights on there, and only to have one of them burn out on you that you can't fucking find, that's taking the whole strand of, you know, that's after you've thrown all the tinsel and bulbs and everything else on it. And of course, if it does go out, you don't get a pass. The chick looks at you like, really? You're going to let that burn out the whole holiday? It's going to ruin my chi.
I'm looking for fucking joy, yeah. Damn it.
That's right. And what kind of Christmas is it when you're cutting deals? You're so fucking my brains out tonight for doing this.
Now put that goddamn angel up there.
There's no guarantees I'm going to fuck you for doing this. Oh, yes, there is.
I have cuts on my hand from the needles. You will so be fucking me.
Yeah. You are fucking doing this. No mistake about it. Because I've had to stick my arms up in this prong fucked up tree all day long. I had to nurse the spider bite I got from the brown recluse when I was pulling this shit out of the attic.
And yes, I do think it's gangrenous.
Yeah. I need an emergency room within 3 hours, so I'm very nice of you to think I can put the lights up before I'm going to be in critical mass. They don't give a shit. They just want their shit up. And then like people come over and go, oh, God, what a beautiful tree, honey. You did so good. And you sit there and go, didn't she? Isn't she amazing? Wow. I wish everybody could have a wife like her or a girlfriend like her. She does look amazing. And why shouldn't she? She got to go running today and go to yoga. I put up a tree and ate leftover pizza, so I'm a fat piece of shit that had to put the tree up while she's looking fucking amazing. And it's probably going to end up fucking around on me because of it.
But Merry fucking Christmas.
Yeah, but hey, yeah. Then, you know, make sure you tell her how good her tree looks. Bitch. When are you all moving out anyway?
We haven't had a tree in probably 10 years.
Yeah. We go get like one of those little Target 3 feet tall things.
I was thinking about doing that this year.
Yeah. You know, so you can not have the money to throw presents under it.
Presents. See, honestly, we, and this involves like my mom and my brother and stuff, back several years ago, because we don't have children in the family, so it's like we don't need presents. And you know how much better that made the holidays when you don't have to stress about buying people stuff?
Oh, yeah, we've made that agreement too. It's like, let's just go out. Let's go out like a couple of days before Christmas and buy a bunch of shit for ourselves. Let's do that.
Right.
That was the most fun we had last year doing that.
I strongly suggest it. You know, I'm not saying take the joy of Santa away from little kids or anything, but you know what? If you don't stress about buying stuff, just don't do it. Make an agreement with your significant other and, you know, your close family members, and just enjoy each other if that's possible. It makes the holidays so much better.
No, I mean, the only person I get something for is Samantha.
Well, and she's still in school, so I mean, that's totally, you know, appropriate.
And she doesn't have to get me anything. Yeah, I just say, keep your money. You don't have to get me anything. It's all good.
Now, will you be splitting her back and forth? How do your holidays work with your divorce?
No, I don't have to split her. She's staying with me.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Well, that should be exciting.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, hopefully next year she'll be able to spend Christmas with her mom. But for this year, it's me.
Good.
Yeah.
High five.
So, you know, and of course, I'm sure I'll have to endure the boyfriend and all that stuff.
Right. See, that's just kind of weird to me, because in my family, the idea of like going anywhere on Christmas Day to spend time with someone who wasn't family, especially when I was young, was really unheard of. Like, I wouldn't even bother asking.
Yeah, we're not you.
I know.
So, you know, we don't have these weird...
I don't think it's a bad thing. I'm just saying it's still very much like, oh, I would never
have
thought of asking.
Your family's a bunch of whack jobs.
Nice.
No presents, won't leave each other. It sounds very cultish to me.
Yes. We spread joy. We cook, we clean, we decorate the fucking tree, and we make Kirk Cameron very happy.
That's nice.
I'm sorry, our Lord Kirk Cameron.
Yes. The king of growing pains.
Which he now absolutely like rips on how dirty it was and how awful. And, you know, it was just everything against everything he stands for. And it's like, okay, right there is a perfect example of how you just aren't fun. There's no fun in your life. If your only joy is Jesus, seriously, you're not doing it right.
No.
And I imagine you're a terrible lay.
Oh, God, the worst. I don't think anybody super religious is a great fuck.
No.
Now, somebody who wants out, I bet they're amazing.
I can only imagine.
I've had two or three religious girls, and, you know, they were, you know, the same. They just couldn't let themselves go. You know what I mean? Yeah, just
it was like, the whole idea of taking the Lord's name in vain during orgasm.
Yeah, they just couldn't let themselves go. They just couldn't enjoy themselves. They wanted to.
Just you know. Didn't know how.
And I was trying to help him along. It's like, come on, you want to be
a dirty... Well, that is your point.
It's like, come on, you want to be a dirty little whore, don't you? Blah, 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 blah. Which at the time, they thought I was a horrible person. Now they probably fantasize about me on a daily basis.
You are the subject of many paddlings of the pink canoe.
Yep.
Yep.
I truly believe that there's two or three girls, you know, that I got with at a younger age that thought I was horrible at the time, but now that they've grown up and seen the world, they're like, fucking Lex had it going on, man. He was ahead of his time.
He was innovative.
He was. He was. I did love to be called names. It was amazing. You little preacher's daughter, bitch. You're scaring me. Good. I wish you'd do the same. How about scaring me some so I get something out of this?
I have to read this to you. Someone sent this to me yesterday. Our 55-minute buzzer went off.
Yeah, I saw that.
But are you familiar with Clickhole, the website?
No.
It's The Onion does it, and it's a bunch of, you know how like BuzzFeed, they call it the clickbait. They put like an amazing headline, so you have to click it, and it's like a list.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Clickhole is Onion's version of this. Okay, so it's very funny stuff. And yesterday they had 9 pictures of French Stewart. Do you know who he is?
Yeah.
9 pictures of French Stewart that will leave your gash sopping wet.
French Stewart.
Yes. Now, it's not the pictures, because, I mean, it's French Stewart. But, like, number one, oh, baby, you want some Frenchy stew. Number two, oh, yeah, that's the stuff. Number three, don your ponchos. There's a monsoon brewing. Number four, this face will take you from bone dry to waterlogged chuff in 1.3 seconds flat.
My God.
Hit our juice box, Frenchy boy.
Oh, wow.
And where was the best one? Strap on a snorkel, French, and dive into our soaking wet chasm.
If people who knew what this guy looked like.
Wasn't he on Third Rock from the Sun?
He was on Third Rock from the Sun.
He's the is he gay or is he not guy?
No. And as a matter of fact, his dad is the guy in Slapshot that says, I want some of that FLA snatch.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Look at him. He looks just like him. And he has the same last name.
Was his name? What's his first name? Do you know? I'm thinking of Victor French. But wasn't he on Little House?
No. Victor French was in something different. It's a. Let me look up the Slapshot cast.
Oh, I'm thinking French. So, Stewart. Damn it.
Yeah, you're.
Yeah, totally.
You're fucked up.
I am.
Here you go. Slapshot cast. Where is he? He's way down there. Yeah, Brad Sullivan's his dad. That's his okay. That's his real name.
That's a movie I'll watch every now and then.
Oh God, it's the best movie ever.
Yeah. And just stare upon the amazingness that is Paul Newman.
There's so many hot fucking people, hot chicks in that movie.
And, of course, the Hanson brothers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that was a fucking great movie.
Yes.
I'm sorry. It just was the greatest ever. All right, Stacey, so we have wrapped up another threesome podcast, number 15.
Threesomepodcast.com.
That is the website where you can get hooked up and get podcast episodes at your design and will. And we will have 14 and 15 up there soon enough. 14 will go up, you know, it will be up by post time on this episode.
Hopefully.
And we try to put the other episode up, you know, as soon as it's done on LT2, which we want to thank Drew Hillis for providing for us at DBC Connections. All my other showmates and their great shows, make sure you check them out on there because they're amazing. And also check out my other show, The Legend Cast, which is musically based and a lot of fun. I have a lot of fun with it. So make sure you join us for that. And you have yourselves an awesome day. Bye.
You too. Bye-bye.